This daily Christian newscast is brought to you in partnership with SermonAudio.com.
It's Tuesday, August 20th, AD 2019. This is The Worldview in 5 minutes, written by Kevin Swanson and heard at TheWorldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. After Northern Ireland, the last nation in Western Europe, toppled to allow killing of babies in their mothers' wombs, now Poland is the last nation holding out against abortion in Eastern Europe. The 1993 pro-life law prohibits abortion except for cases where there is a, quote, serious threat to the life or health of the pregnant woman, end quote. However, a recent survey found that between 25 and 33% of Polish women have had at least one abortion, mostly by obtaining the abortion in Germany or the Czech Republic, where abortions are freely accessible. Leading party chairman Jarosław Kaczynski called on public laws to, quote, regulate these matters, end quote. He also noted that he was, quote unquote, grateful for recent comments from the Polish archbishop, who compared the homosexual movement to the former communist domination and noted that the nation was, quote, under siege, end quote. 2 Thessalonians 2 gives us the heads up, saying, for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. More Christian persecution is taking place in Chiapas, Mexico. Miguel Perez Diaz, his 8 children, and 87-year-old father are living in a shack in the mountains after being kicked out of their village. Villagers were harassing the family for rejecting the indigenous religious practices for their Christian faith, according to Morningstar News. Pray, please, for the Diaz family. The more liberal 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals is allowing for the Trump administration to defund Planned Parenthood by about 12% of the federal funds they have received, or about $60 million, reports PBS. Friday's ruling rejects a request from 20-some states, Planned Parenthood, and the American Medical Association to block the Trump pro-life policy regarding the funding. The administration put the funding block in place yesterday. Planned Parenthood's newly ensconced president, Alexis McGill Johnson, has revealed the organization cannot remain in the program given the new pro-life policies for federal Title X funding. McGill wrote to the court that it is, quote, unrealistic to think that grants or private donations, end quote, could make up the difference. However, Planned Parenthood's most recent financial reports show a record income of $1.67 billion, with $245 million of excess revenue, $563 million coming out of federal and state funding, and the remaining $631 million from private contributions. The $60 million, by comparison, is only a drop in the bucket for the largest abortion provider in the nation. President Donald Trump told the press yesterday he plans to keep Vice President Mike Pence on the ticket for the 2020 presidential race, reports Reuters.
I'm very happy with Mike Pence. I think Mike Pence has been an outstanding VP. I think that he's been incredible in terms of the love that a lot of people, especially the evangelicals, they really have a great respect for our vice president, and so do I.
Hong Kong Christians are still nervous about the proposed extradition law. The Worldview spoke to Gina Goh of International Christian Concern, who witnessed Christians participating in the protest while she was in Hong Kong on a recent trip. Stay tuned for a Worldview special report immediately following today's newscast. And finally, the Christian Post featured a lead article on Monday attacking, quote, misogyny inherent in so many complementarian churches, end quote, and the idea conveyed by complementarian churches that, quote, God is a chauvinist, end quote. The article included interviews from Julie Royce, a radio host, Amy Bird, a theologian and author with the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals, and egalitarian theologian Ben Witherington III, a professor of New Testament at Asbury Theological Seminary. Witherington finds that women ministers can do better in the pastoral office than men. The State of Clergy Women report in America reports that in 1960, only 2.3% of U.S. clergy were women. That percentage has increased tenfold to 20.7% by 2016. Over the same time period, the number of children born without fathers has also increased about sevenfold, from 6% to about 40%. Also, more than 80% of Roman Catholics, lay ecclesial ministers, are women. God's Word does speak to this issue. 1 Timothy 2, 9-13 says, "In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but with good deeds, appropriate for women who profess to worship God. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For man was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression." And that's the Worldview in 5 minutes on this Tuesday, August 20th in the year of our Lord, 2019. Subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com or get the Generations app through Google Play or the App Store. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. Time now for a Worldview Special Report by Emily Swanson. I'm Adam McManus. On Sunday, 1.7 million citizens from Hong Kong poured into the streets despite the rain, despite the threat of violence by Hong Kong police. They stood for freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of religion. Despite the fact that the Hong Kong leader, Carrie Lam, has vowed that the extradition bill is now considered dead, Hong Kong Christians are still nervous about that proposed bill. The Worldview spoke to Gina Goh of International Christian Concern, who witnessed Christians participating in the protest while she was in Hong Kong on a recent trip.
When I was there, it's early June at that time, so it's pretty much at the beginning of this movement. And at the beginning, it's very straightforward. All the people who were on the streets, they were demanding the government to retract this extradition law, because at that time they were about to put it through legislative council and to do the second reading. Back then it was pretty straightforward, and I remember, I think it's June 12th, if I remember correctly, or 11th, one of these days, it's when the police actually started to fire tear gas.
Goh said that it was then when things started to heat up.
As we've seen, there's police brutality, and there are also a lot of arrests. They want to demand the release of some of the arrest people and investigation into the police brutality, and also that they shouldn't call this protest violent protest.
Goh said that Christians in Hong Kong are participating in these protests because of how the extradition law could affect their religious freedom.
In this protest, in the beginning, of course, they are worried for overall freedom of speech. They feel like once they let this extradition law pass, of course, it's not directly related to freedom of speech, but what they are afraid of is if they say something in the future that's against the Chinese government, then Chinese government can issue a document to the Hong Kong court and say, you know, so-and-so says something against Chinese government and this is in violation of such and such law, so I require that you send this person to China. And Hong Kong government will have to do that.
Goh said the Chinese communists could make up charges against Hong Kong Christians in order to imprison them in mainland China.
As we know it, you know, communist government, they can trump up charges all the time for everybody who they find to be threatening to their regime. So that's something that they are afraid of. And also in particular, how come some of the Hong Kong Christians can be targeted, especially those who are helping or involved in the China ministry. For example, if someone bring in Bibles inside, bring in an audio Bible player, or, you know, go inside and provide a training for underground churches inside China, then once they return to Hong Kong, China can ask Hong Kong government to say, you know, you have so-and-so Hong Kong person here and he did this, and he is in violation of an economic crimes or subversion of state power. You know, they would just come up with some suspicious crime name.
Goh referred to the case of a Hong Kong Christian businessman who was targeted with these kinds of accusations.
They actually had a case like this before, but back then it wasn't so much like, you know, a tradition. But there was a Hong Kong businessman, and he was bringing Bibles inside, but he was charged for 2 years and sentenced. I mean, he was in China at the time of arrest, if I remember correctly. But they're afraid that if this law passes, then it means people who are involved in ministry in China, then they're at higher risk of being arrested, even if they return to China, because they think they're safe, you know. But Chinese can basically extend their arms into Hong Kong and be like, hey, bring these people back, you know, I'm going to prosecute them, I'm going to arrest them, put them in jail.
Goh said that Hong Kong Christians have much more freedom of religion in Hong Kong than Chinese Christians do.
If I can put them on a scale, I think Hong Kong Christian is at like 95%.
Oh, wow.
And then, you know, China is pretty low, you know, especially with the recent, I guess, like enacted revised religious regulation in 2018, February. Hong Kong Christians, or not just Christians, but basically people from different religions, they are able to practice faith according to their wishes. And also, we have to remember that Hong Kong was under British rule for a long period of time. So, you know, during that time, a lot of missionaries and, you know, different churches, denominations, they came to Hong Kong. They established a lot of, and just, you know, charity organizations. It's all faith-based. I was told by Christians in Hong Kong that they have between 40 to 60% schools in Hong Kong that are faith-based.
Goh said to keep praying for protection for the Hong Kong Christians. Stay tuned for more updates throughout the week on our brothers and sisters in Hong Kong. This has been a Worldview Special Report. I'm Adam McManus.